All right. Well, welcome back to Business PMO, the podcast that we are continuing in our review of John Maxwell's Developing the Leader Within You 2.0. We are still with David Helps. Thank you very much, David, for joining us.
Glad to be here.
David is the Chief of Staff for the PMO at the South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. That's just where he is now.
Yeah.
David has a huge background in project management, Department of Education, the PMI board, DHEC. He's been all over the place.
Mill Health. You name it.
So we're glad to have you here. And first, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, January 1st. Can you believe 2023 is out of here?
No.
Neither can I. All right, so we are going to get into problem solving. Now, this in this book, it's if I were to show you, I'm going to show the people on this thing. The book that we're talking about is literally just chapter 5 for the next 3 weeks, and it's this many pages, which is not that much if you really look at the whole thing. Usually 3 weeks of material is more like this that we review. So anyhow, we're gonna, basically this stuff is so rich with problem solving that we're gonna stick with it and just kind of go through each of these things a little slower than normal. We'll still keep it to 15 minutes 20 minutes. We'll see. I don't know, it might be 24 or 25. We got a little crazy with it before, but here we go. Let's just dive right on in. So want to say first thank you to everybody. Really enjoying doing this podcast. I mean, this we're what, at episode 9 now, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, this is like the last of the 3-part trilogy or something, you know, in Star Wars. But thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you, David. You've been absolutely wonderful being here.
I've enjoyed it. It's been a blast.
Just want to say, you know, keep the feedback coming in. You know, we want to make these podcasts better. We want to know what you want to know, and to make it relevant to project management. So thank you. God bless you all. Please continue to grow with us as leaders. We want to help people to grow and lift other people up, put their needs ahead, you know, put your team's needs ahead of your own. So let's kind of go with this. So here's a philosophical statement, kind of get your feedback. I love these things that are in John Maxwell's book. It's not just his thoughts, but he pulls from historical figures and all this stuff. So this one comes to us from M. Scott Peck. He wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled, so it's a classic.
Oh, yes.
Now, so he says, once we truly know that life is difficult, and once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it has been accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters.
Mm-hmm.
So now, a lot of this material is going to sound very traditionalist. In a sense. So, which I like, because I guess it comes from my generation, the generation before me.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a big push in today's culture to say everything needs to be easy. We don't want to do adversity very much. This is not project management. Would you agree?
Yeah, no.
So when you take on a project, it's not like you say, well, where's the easy button?
No easy buttons. Not really. Not in project management.
Have you ever had a project where you started on a project and you're like, this is nothing to it. Everybody's kumbaya, waving a lighter in the air.
and then about 2 weeks into it, we're like, oh my gosh, everything's on fire. Oh,
All right, so we're gonna break this whole thing up into the next 3 weeks, and each podcast I'm gonna mention each 3 weeks. I'm not going crazy. Don't hit skip. But just as a reminder, because some people won't be starting from the beginning,
correct,
they might jump in the middle. So it's gonna be 3 parts. The first one is how problem solving introduces us to ourselves, how problem solving introduces us to others, and how problem solving introduces us to opportunities.
Yes.
So project managers, we run into the house that's burning,
right?
Basically, you know, not the literal house that's burning, but certainly we run to the problems. We don't run away from them. So there's several points that he makes in here, and as always, I like to get your feedback on it. So the very first one that he does, and this is about how problems help us learn more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. First one, our decisions, yes. If I speak proper English, yeah. Our decisions are often impacted by our proximity to the problem.
Yes.
All right. So I always like to get your experience on this. How can you relate? In project management, mm-hmm. have you found that if you're closer to the problem that you're more effective, or that if you're further away from the problem that you're more effective?
It's the closer to the problem.
Closer to why do you think that is?
Because everything looks doable, and everything is rose-colored when you're looking at it from far away. It just like you said, have you ever gone into a project going, oh, this is going to be simple, this is because we were looking at it from up here. Mm-hmm. We weren't looking at it from down in what I call the weeds. Yeah. We were looking at it from a higher level. So proximity to the problem or proximity to the project will give you a clearer picture of what's really going on. And through that clearer picture, you actually get to the root of what really is going on.
And he shares a problem in his book that I didn't know existed. And I guess not. Why would I know this one? This one is the Apollo space station. Or yes. Not space station, the Apollo spaceship.
Yeah.
Not station, sorry. Sorry, we weren't into space stations until later. But the spaceship. And there was a great debate. And it's, there's always this debate between teams. They had the scientific team and the engineering team. Scientific team says, we are just going to build the perfect system. Nothing is going to fail. It's going to be perfect. And because it's going to be perfect, it's going to leave more room for us to have scientific equipment that we can take measurements, we can do all this, gather data, the scientists just love, 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 love. The engineers said, no, we need to have a backup for every single system because it's impossible for things to be perfect.
Yes.
And they were locked.
Yep.
So they said, okay, we need to bring in the astronauts. Mm-hmm. And the astronauts unanimously, without hardly even thinking about it, said, we're going to go with the backups. Because we're the ones who are going to be stuck in space.
And
one thing goes wrong, we're hosed. So it seems to support what basically you're saying.
Yeah.
Which is...
And the thing is the different parties, none of them were wrong. Right, the scientists, they really want the information, they want the knowledge, they want, that's why we're going.
Yeah.
Right, the engineers though, they know what they built and they know the things that can change and the different things that might occur. So they're gonna, so all of them are right in their own sense, but the astronauts are the ones strapped to the rocket and strapped to the ship and know where they're going and know that if anything goes wrong, there's no coming back.
There's no helicopter.
You're not going to send the chopper out to pick up the people on the side of the mountain. So the different viewpoints and the different perspectives and the different thought processes that went through that are all correct in and of themselves. But at the same time, you've got to be close to the thing, issue, problem, project, to see it from a clearer picture.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's the first one that kind of helps us grow as leaders, is we need to put ourselves close to the problem, not far away.
Yeah.
All right, so the second thing he says is, as a leader, expect that your plate is always going to be full with problems. Mm-hmm. And the story he uses to relate to this one is, there's a guy who has clients all over the country. Mm-hmm. And he wants to try to meet with each of his clients, 4 clients before breakfast.
Yeah.
He meets with each client. As he meets with each client has a problem.
Yep.
And they all want him to get on a plane and go somewhere to go fix that problem.
Yep.
So he meets with them before breakfast. So he decides, okay, well, I'm going to go to this client over here. As he's waiting on the taxi, he encounters another phone call, has another problem, mm-hmm. and then another phone call, has another problem. Then there's the flight, there's a delay, there's another problem. Well, finally a taxi driver gets there and he says, "Where do you want to go?" He says, "It doesn't matter, there's problems everywhere."
Yes.
So it's going in with that mindset as a leader that expect there to be problems all the time,
yes.
because you're the leader. It's not just other people's problems. It's mm-hmm. your problems and their problems.
Yeah.
True?
True. As leaders, we have to prepare ourselves that we are going to run into any and all types of issues throughout this, whatever project we're working on. So we need to prepare ourselves mentally to handle that. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, that's difficult because we want to fix everything. We want to make everything right. But we also have to realize that we are one person and we're going to have to prioritize. Mm-hmm. Like on the battlefield, you got to triage. And you got to triage correctly, and then you got to move with that information.
And it's always constant.
Yeah, always.
Don't ever expect.
Oh,
if you're a project manager and you show up and there's no problems going on whatsoever,
there's a major problem. if there are no problems, there's a major one.
First one being that you're not aware of the problems, right?
Exactly.
All right. And the third point that John Maxwell makes is pragmatism serves us well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's not making the case that you always need to be pragmatic,
mm-hmm.
that you can say, well, this is how it should be. This is how it could be if mm-hmm. it was a perfect world, to brainstorm and blue sky. Mm-hmm. But when dealing with problems, he encourages leaders to be pragmatic,
mm-hmm.
and to say, basically, for those who don't know what pragmatic is, because actually I had to go on Google this. I was like, what exactly is it? He's just saying, dealing in facts now.
Yes.
And if I summarize, right? Dealing in facts now.
Yeah.
How do you pull your team away from blue skying to say, okay, y'all, we need to look at the reality of the situation. This is what we have. This is what we know works. How do you pull them away from
mm-hmm.
blue sky and get them to focus on what's realistic?
You've got to keep them focused on that clear, concise vision and goal that you put out in the beginning. Another thing that will help you keep people grounded in the current known knowledge is what we dealt with COVID. I mean, when I was in the ACC, the Agency Coordination Center, which is basically a military-style group that comes in and you focus and you triage and you handle everything that's going on. It's basically the incident command structure is basically what it is. It's an ICS. And because everything was moving so fast and we were bringing in way, way too much information, but in something like that, you need a lot of information. You had to learn how to pick out the things that were the most important to what our job was, which was to try to help and save as many people as we could. We had to go with the known knowledge that we had at that moment, and we had to make big decisions on a lot of information that only a couple things were needed, and sometimes almost no information.
And yeah, COVID was a beast.
It was, and you had to get in there and you had to look at and analyze quickly the information that you had,
mm-hmm.
and be pragmatic in how what it's telling you and how you can use it to make better decisions moving forward. To do that, we had to continuously focus on the tasks that we had put up and we had put out.
Yeah.
And we had to continuously focus on what those goals were of those tasks and what this information was telling us.
Really interesting, because you have first-hand, upfront experience with how to respond to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that nobody ever saw coming, or at least maybe somewhere in the ether of the New World Order or something. Maybe somebody knew, but I don't know. We didn't know.
even in the old movies, yeah, where they tried to do a movie on what could happen, they came close on a couple of them, but a lot of them missed the mark on how impactful and how crazy the environment gets when something like that happens.
So focusing your team on those unknown things that come in is, you're saying, keep focused on the goal.
Keep focused on the goal. Keep focused on the mission. Keep focused on the task that you've been assigned. Okay. What is this information telling you? And be pragmatic about it.
Very good. So, all right, the next one, because you know, I love talking about the code. We'll be here for hours. But all right, so next one. So believing there is always an answer as an asset. Now, this I found easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a leader, when you get overwhelmed with problems, very easy to withdraw and go, well, it is what it is.
Yep.
That's where if I had a dollar for every time I heard that statement,
yes.
You know, I'd be able to buy myself into retirement.
Yeah.
So how can you make sure that you don't do that? That you say there is a solution. Your team comes to you and they say, look, there's just no way around it. We're just going to have to accept this as a flaw and whatever, or we're just not going to be able to deliver on what the customer needs. How do you get them to say, no, there is a solution?
The thing is that you have to impress upon everybody is that there are solutions out there for everything. There really is. Sometimes you've got to dig deeper. Sometimes you've got to throw your net broader. Sometimes you've got to think outside the box. So you've got to do what you need to do to help you figure out what all the possible solution sets are that could be out there, and then work on each of those of their own merit until you narrow it down to a certain area that gives you the most realistic, successful expectation that's out there.
Okay.
But if you don't start off with the idea of that there is a solution.
Okay. So, speaking of problem solving, anybody watching this video will probably notice a cut. I want everybody to know it's okay. We had a fire alarm. So just to let you all know, there was a fire alarm at the BPMO headquarters because somebody burned some bread, I think. So anyway, well, let's get back into this.
Yes.
So picking up where we left off, this is about believing there is always an answer is an asset to a leader.
Yes.
So I think the question was, How do you keep the team pushing forward on there is an answer when they're coming to you and they're saying, we can't get it done, you know, so sorry, we're just going to have to accept that this is it. But you have to bring the team around and say, no, there is an answer. We're going to find it.
Got to keep them focused. You got to keep them focused on the task and the vision and the goals. And then you have to, and it's not just, it's not just going in and telling them, hey, you got to figure this out. You got to get down there and you got to help. You got to get in meetings. You've got to bring together the different people that are components, not just the team, but the SMEs, the subject matter experts. Get people thinking outside the box. Get people looking at things from a different perspective. Get people, you know, talking. Mm-hmm. And then what you find is in those conversations, there's usually aha moments. Oh, I wouldn't have thought about that. Oh, if we did this, we could. And that's what you want to focus in on.
Exactly. So John Maxwell makes the case here that a lot of this mindset is experience-based.
Yes.
And so his advice, I'm going to share here, his advice is what he calls creating a positive cycle of success. So what he says is, even when you don't know, even when you don't have any experience, start by believing that there is an answer.
Yep.
Because it's from a, I guess, I don't know if it's a psychological point of view or whatever, but he says, you know, when you believe that there's a solution to the problem, then you're motivated to work to find that solution.
Yes.
So when people come to us and say there is no problem, you say yes, or there is no solution to this problem, you say, yeah, there has to be.
Yeah.
And then you get in there and you work with them. And then when you continue on that cycle, mm-hmm. eventually you build tools.
Yeah.
And through your experiences in order to try to help.
And that's
help
what,
with
that's
that.
What gets people motivated and moving.
So if you're a new project manager, sometimes you just got to put on your game face.
Yeah.
I guess, and say, look, I don't know what the answer is, but I know it's out there and we're going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So the next one is our actions can make our problems increase in number and size. Now this one seems to make sense, right?
Oh yeah.
It's easy to follow the negative path.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he has a whole list of ways that we can see that if we look in ourselves mm-hmm. that we're going off track. But before I read his list,
yeah.
What are some of the red flags that you see that let you know that you're going on a negative track for problem solving?
I usually, me personally, can tell when I'm struggling, especially with coming up with answers and solutions, when I get to the point where it's not really giving up as much as it is I'm just spent. I'm done. That usually comes after I've hit my head up against the wall 100 times, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm done. I can't. What else can we even think about to come up
right.
with?
When I see
myself start pulling back with doing that withdrawal, that's when I know I've got to buckle down twice as hard and get busy.
All right, cool. And some of the things that he points out in his book are these. If you're in the middle of problem solving, keep these locked in the back of your head with the idea that mm-hmm. if you notice these within yourself, then
yes.
you need to stop.
Yeah.
Because you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And so some of those, he said, losing our perspective,
mm-hmm.
Giving up on an important personal value.
Yes.
Now that one, I've mm-hmm. struggled with because,
yeah.
you know, it's easy to go, well, we're going to go ahead and cut this corner.
Yeah.
And yeah, probably wouldn't, but your personal values
yep.
can't be ignored.
Correct.
In a professional environment.
Correct.
So if you see you giving up yourself, you're losing yourself. Therefore, you're not really
yep.
going to be a good leader if your personal values aren't important enough to you.
Exactly.
So I thought that one was good. Losing your sense of humor. It's like that card.
Yes.
Didn't that card say the first sign that you're getting old is that you lose your sense of humor?
Uh-huh.
And if you don't laugh at that card, then you must be old.
Yes.
It's a great one to get somebody who's getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeling sorry for yourself, which I see in today's culture.
Yes.
Left and right. Left and right. Just people, just, you know, people are against me. I can't. Or blaming others.
Yes.
If you start to find yourself blaming others, then you need to take
problem.
A look on the inside.
That's a
right?
major problem.
All right. And the last one that he has is wishing your problems away, which I know we also do a lot of that in our culture as well, is, well, maybe if I just ignore it, it'll go away. Or
never works.
Mm.
Never
hasn't for me yet.
It never works.
All right, so then the last one here is just, you know, it seems like always through his book, always through his book, he points out a lot of negative, but then tries to give hope.
Yes.
In this. So he closes out this section on problem solving as a way to get to know yourself by saying problems can be used to create better people.
Yes.
So he's saying if you handle the problems well, you improve. I guess which is what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, kind of thing. And he gives some examples of this. I'm going to read his examples, but I would love for you to think these through. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what's an example in your life of somebody you know who had adversity or had problems, but they handled those problems well and came out better in the end. So he gives some big names. Racial oppression in society,
mm-hmm.
he said, that created Martin Luther King Jr.
Yep.
Glenn Cunningham, who I didn't know, but basically he was burned so bad they said he wouldn't even walk again.
Yep.
He overcame those problems and ended up running the fastest mile. He set a world record back in the 1930s.
Yep.
As running for running the mile. For that's not bad for somebody who's not supposed to walk again.
Exactly.
Right? So the other one, probably my personal favorite, is Albert Einstein, who was constantly referred to as, quote, retarded and unteachable.
Yeah.
Get that one. Retarded and unteachable. Albert Einstein. We don't connect those two. But the problems that were dumped on him, he overcame, handled those problems well, and ended up one of the greatest minds in history.
Well, I mean, and he even talks about it. He talks about that. He talks about his childhood or his school years and the struggles.
He didn't have a happy time with school. And I think it's fun because, you know, I homeschooled my kids. And one of the reasons was I didn't want them to just regurgitate everything that they were told. I wanted them to really learn and experience things.
Yeah, so, and experience.
All right.
Yeah.
So, now, the lesson being, what doesn't break you, if handled well, makes you stronger.
What's the
Who
old,
do you know?
it goes back to the old saying, iron sharpens iron, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to grow yourself if you do not come through strife and adversity.
Right.
Right? So you're not, you can grow, but you're not going to grow fully.
Right. Yeah, if candy bars could help me lose weight, I'm in. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
That's right. That's right.
So do you know anybody in your life that had to overcome adversity or had to, maybe overcome adversity is the wrong way. What I want to say is they had a problem, didn't let that problem take them down. They actually worked through the problem and came out better in the end. It doesn't have to be a huge
example. So one person I would have to say that actually took the adversity and actually turned it into making him one of the best in his field would probably be my father-in-law. My father-in-law was dyslexic.
Oh, okay.
So everything
That's a
problem. Was, and yeah. he struggled some, but he became an orthodontist.
No kidding.
Med school, the whole nine yards, 12 years, all, you know, of...
With dyslexia. Not bad. That's good.
But, think about it. He's looking at your mouth upside down.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah, they always have the mirror in there. And, oh, okay.
So he's
the only one who saw our teeth the right way.
He took something that is a struggle for a lot of people and used it to his advantage to be better.
Okay.
So
I think that's a good example.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to wrap up week one of January. So so in our next podcast, I know it's crazy. It's literally, we're in 2024. All right. So the next one we're going to do is using problems to introduce ourselves to others.
Yes.
And how to work with them. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you in one more week. Have a good day.